Could we read together from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11? Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, from the beginning. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he shall answer and say, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Lord, we want to praise you and worship you this morning. And we want to tell you that we rely fully upon your Holy Spirit. Lord, we trust you for enabling us both to speak and to hear, Lord, and to do a work within us that would have some eternal effect upon us. Lord, we have come to this conference not only to listen to some messages of interest, but Lord, we have come to be changed. We have come to leave this place as a different people. Father, we pray that you will impress your word upon our hearts and cause us to obey it, Lord, and lead us into a new relationship with yourself in prayer and intercession, because we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to go on to the next step in this little series about prayer, and that is prayer and perseverance. I think that it was important for us to understand that before we can get into that quality called perseverance, it is essential that we really know how to pray in the Spirit, how to let the Holy Spirit really lead us into prayer and be our one and only source in our prayer life. This is the secret of being able to persevere. I do think that this matter of being consistent is a problem to all of us. There may be a few that has some natural strong-willed power that they can go on and go on and go on. But most of us, we realize that this is such a problem to be consistent. We can have a period where we really seek the Lord in prayer, and then suddenly we give up for any reason, and then we have a period where it is so difficult for us to get down to the work. So we really want and desire to know how we can get into that perseverance prayer. And this has something to do with prayer and the Holy Spirit. If you look up in Ephesians 6, where it speaks about prayer and spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now it's quite a challenge from the Lord that many places in the Word the Lord is speaking this incredible word of all times. You shall pray without ceasing. You shall always pray and not get tired. This is really our problem. But nevertheless, the Lord is speaking like that. Pray at all times, always, and never get tired. And sometimes we really feel that we have a question to ask before the Lord, and we have to tell Him, Lord, it's all right that You tell us that we always shall pray, but this is the most difficult thing that we can be confronted with, because we are so inconsistent. It's such a problem. But here we have a secret. In the Danish Bible, it's put, I think, very clearly. It says, praying with all perseverance, as you pray always in the Spirit. Now, it's not so difficult for us to see that if we are praying in the Spirit, if we are coming into the Spirit as we pray, then we are able to go on and be consistent, because we have all the support of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we cannot wear out the Holy Spirit. He never gets tired. He has such a power and such a consistency that we can never tire Him out. We have a God that has been supplying us with strength and power for centuries among His people, and He is as full as ever. How much we take from Him, it will not leave Him less. He still has got the same amount. Isn't that incredible? He's not like we are. He's got that eternal divine life that can never be wearied out. So it's really important for us to see this, that the matter of perseverance is not in the realm of natural power. It's not a matter for some few who has got by nature a very consistent character, and those few, they have a special calling to be persevering in prayer. It's for the rest of us who are so feeble and are so inconsistent and are so unstable and are, as we call it sometimes, elevator Christians. We go up and down, up and down, up and down. Sometimes we have a period on the top and then we have a period on the bottom. It's for all of us praying always in the Spirit, we have the possibility. In Romans 12:2, we can see the connection. Romans 12 and verse 11. Not lacking behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I do see a connection here, because very often I find that I lack behind in diligence. But the secret is fervent in spirit. If I do allow the Holy Spirit to fill me every day, if I give Him that opportunity to fill my life, if I wait upon God in silent prayer, He will fill me, and that gives me that fervent, being fervent in spirit, and then I'll not lack in diligence. So it is really a secret when we speak of persevering. Look at verse 12: rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. It has to do with being in the Spirit, rejoicing, being filled with the Spirit. Then we can be persevering. Now here it's put in the New American Standard Bible, devoting or devoted to prayer. In the Danish Bible we have the expression persevering in prayer. And we can look at 1 Thessalonians 2. And chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Now we have the connection that praying without ceasing has something to do with rejoicing always, in everything give thanks, and not quenching the Spirit. Because if we quench the Spirit, we lose our consistency. We lose the possibility of persevering. It's all in that secret of praying in the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit be our one and only source in our prayer life. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, we have a wonderful scripture. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? This is one of my favorite words, I tell you. That is marvelous. There's something called the love of Christ. As I said last night, Paul is not saying that the love of Paul is constraining him. He is saying the love of Christ is constraining us. And here it tells us that we are to be directed. By whom? By the Holy Spirit. He is our director. And He will direct us into the love of Christ, the love of God, and into the steadfastness of Christ. Oh, how wonderful it is to see that is, in a way, it is none of my business, this matter of being perseverant. There is a supply. This quality is in Christ. He endured. He was perseverant, not only in prayer, but all the way through. when all the disciples left him and forsook him, and he was left all by himself, he persevered, he endured even the cross, even death at the cross, because he knew to draw on that source that was his Heavenly Father. So we have got a steadfastness in Christ that we can draw from. We have got such a wonderful supply that can make us consistent and perseverant in prayer. And I do think that what we need to learn is we need to wait upon God as we come to him for the purpose of prayer. Sometimes we are too, as I said last night, we are too quick to present to the Lord everything that needs to be covered in prayer. We ought to learn to be silent before him and wait upon him, and wait as long as we need in order to get into dealings with the Holy Spirit. You know, it says in John 3 that everyone that is born of the Spirit, he is the person that can hear the sound of the wind. He does not know from where the wind is coming or where the wind is going, but he has this facility, this ear in his heart to be able to somehow discern the direction of the wind. And the Lord Jesus is saying that it is like that for everyone who has been born again. He has that facility to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But he must be silent. It is a small, silent voice. It's not a big thunderstorm. It is a silent wind blowing within. And the crux of the matter is to be silent so that we really can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we be able to follow his directions. Some Christians in the matter of prayer can be likened with a motorboat. When they get to prayer, they start the motor, the engine, and then sometimes it really sounds as a good old Danish fishing boat. Tong, 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 tong. They can go on like that and never stop. I don't think the Lord wants us to be like that in prayer. He wants us to be more like a sailing boat. You know, a sailing boat can never get anywhere if it is not able to catch the wind. And all these skilled sailors, they have a certain way of finding out where the wind is blowing. They spit on their finger and then they put it up in the air like that, and then suddenly, because the wind can blow in many directions, and it can suddenly change and go in another direction. And they must know the direction of the wind in order to be able to get the boat sailing. So when they found out, they act accordingly. And then the little boat is sailing beautifully without a sound. Have you seen a sailing boat? Every year we have a big sailing race around the island of Sealand, where Copenhagen is placed. And the idea is for all these boats to get around the whole island and come first. And sometimes they have just to lay silent for a whole day because no wind is blowing. They cannot go anywhere. They are dependent on the wind. And it is like that with us regarding this matter of prayer. We are so depending on the Holy Spirit. But thank God He is always blowing. There's always a wind. But the problem is that we are not silent and we do not know how to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes it can take a whole hour. So if we really want to get into prayer and intercession, there's one thing that we need to understand. We've got to have time, brothers and sisters. It's not a matter of 10 minutes or 15 minutes here and there. It won't work like that. We've got to have time. Time is the most needed thing when we come to this matter of praying and interceding, because we must get silent before the Lord and everything must be quiet within us so that we can hear the sound of the wind. David, when he went into battle, once the Lord directed him and said to him, when he asked and inquired of the Lord how he was to deal with the enemy, the Lord said to him, as soon as you hear the footsteps in the top of the balsams, I think it is, you hear this wind like footsteps. Someone is walking in a direction. And that is the Holy Spirit. As soon as you hear the footsteps, someone is walking, and you say to him, well, where is he going? And you discover he's going that way, and you follow. And David got such a victory that day over the enemy. And it's so essential for us that we really learn to be silent and wait upon God. The word service, or to serve, is actually equal to the word wait. Now when we think about service, we think of taking actions all the time. Serve the Lord is handing out tracts and witnessing and doing all kinds of actions, and of course that is included, but it all begins being silent and waiting upon the Lord. I think that's why in England they call a servant in a restaurant a waiter. Have you seen these distinguished restaurants? There's a few left. I must say that this art of serving in restaurants has become very bad nowadays. The servants are awful. Not like in old times when they were really, it was really something. But there is a few restaurants you can go into, and that's such a beautiful sight to watch these servants, these waiters, how they stand back, and when you come in, they step forward and they direct you to the table and ask you to sit down, and they say, how do you do, and so on, give you the menu card, or what you call it, where all the wonderful dishes are, meals and so on. And then they step backward and stand by the wall and are observing you silently. You speak to your wife and you have a good time, and then suddenly they know instinctively that now is the time, and they go forward and they say, what can we serve you with? And just at the time when you are ready for that. And sometimes when you see it, there is the big inspector in charge of all the servants, and he's standing there in one corner of the restaurant, and he is nodding here and nodding there, giving his servants it's a beautiful sight. I'm fascinated by it. That people can be so disciplined. And this is what the Lord wants with us regarding prayer. that we are able to follow His directions, wait upon the Lord, be sailboats that are being driven only by the power of the Holy Ghost. So, the Holy Spirit is the secret to perseverance in prayer. But this matter of persevering is not a matter of trying to persuade the Lord to do something that we so badly need and want Him to do. Neither is it an attempt to persuade Him to do something that He doesn't want to do. Sometimes we really have that idea that we have sometimes to get hold of the Lord and wear Him out. So at last He gets so sick with us that He says, oh, let them have it. I cannot stand it anymore. I get sweat over them. This is not the idea. On the contrary, nobody would ever be able to be persevering in prayer until he has found what is the will of God. Because it's only when we are in the will of God that we have the support of the Holy Spirit. He will never enable us to do anything contradictory to the will of God. So sometimes this matter of prayer becomes a mystery. Because we all thought that when we have prayed through and battled through and finally we've got to the place where we all know what is the will of God, we think that's the end of the matter and everything is going then to work out beautifully. But that is where it all begins. When we have found the will of God, then it is a matter and becomes a real matter of prayer. Not until then. So let's really remember that it's not a matter of getting the Lord to do something that He doesn't want to do, but it is to wait upon the Holy Spirit to reveal the will of God, and then we get into real persevering prayer. Well, the Lord could have done it otherwise. He is sovereign. Truly He is. He has got all power in heaven and on earth. But somehow He has chosen that way, that He wants the things that He wants to do here on earth, He wants them to be done through prayer. That's why He is asking us, as we read in Luke 11, we should pray like this, Thy kingdom come. And we could ask, will the kingdom not come anyway? Well, the kingdom will come, but I do believe that God is seeking for someone who would be able to willing to co-work with Him in order that the kingdom may come on earth. It is already in heaven. This is no problem. But down here, we ought to be aware of the fact that still there is an enemy who has got some power and some possibility of frustrating and hindering the will of God to be done on earth. And that's why the Lord wants someone to pray and be persevering in prayer, because there's some enemies that has to be defeated whenever the kingdom shall be manifest on earth and the will of God is going to be done on earth. There is an enemy that has some possibility of hindering, not in the long run, but for some time. And in this age, he still has some power, this enemy. He still is regarded as the prince of this world. He still has got his system of evil princes and evil spirits that can in some way hinder. And they have got to be defeated. That's why we have to be perseverant in prayer. Because the will of God is not done on earth automatically as in heaven. I do believe in this word in 2 Peter and chapter 3. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Now this little word, hastening, is very interesting and very meaningful. As I said before, in the long run, the will of God cannot be hindered. And the kingdom will come. But we have a certain influence on the time schedule. We are able, as the Lord's people, to either delay or hastening the things of God. I do believe that's true. And if we look in scriptures, we see that the God's people has always been able to, either by obedience, hastening the purpose of God, or by disobedience, delaying the process. There's one instance in Judges 2 that has spoken very much to my own heart, especially on this matter of intercession. Judges chapter 2 and verse 20. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who have not experienced it formally. We see here that there was a delay in the conquering of Canaan, because the people were disobedient and they didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. And then the Lord let those nations stay, those people stay, those enemies stay in the land, in order to test his people, and in order to bring them up and teach them warfare. But I do believe that some of the great enemies that are present in my country have been allowed to be there because the Lord is trying to wake up his church. He's trying really to stir up his church, and he's trying to teach them spiritual warfare. So we see that the people of God has got some influence on the time schedule, and that's why this matter of perseverance in prayer is so important to us. Let's turn to this scripture in Luke's Gospel and chapter 11 that we opened with, to look into this matter of being perseverant in prayer. We This is the scripture that we are quoting all the time amongst the Lord's people in verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. How we go around and we encourage one another and we say, brother and sister, he who prays, he who asks, he receives, and the one who seeks, he finds, and the one who knocks at the door, to him it shall be opened. But in fact, there's not such a thing in the scripture. It's never said really, literally, anywhere, that the one who asks receives, and the one who seeks he finds, and the one who knocks, to him it will be opened. The literal meaning in the Greek language is slightly different. And I would so have loved if these translators had put it in as it really is. Because it literally goes like this, and it's confirmed by the Amplified New Testament. There can be no doubt about this thing at all. Ask and keep on asking, and you shall receive. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it shall be opened. And this is very essential because it gives you an explanation why you don't get when you ask and why you don't find when you seek. Because you don't. You only ask once, and then you claim the promise and say, Lord, I've asked, now give. Nothing happened, and you, some people are really coming into doubt whether the Lord is a prayer answering God or not. Why don't he fulfill the promise? Well, it's essential to see that the Lord never said that we should ask and then receive, but he did say we should keep on asking, and then we should receive. And it's very clear in this illustration or parable that the Lord is using here that this is the way he meant it. Now suppose we take that parable and we change it a little bit to illustrate how we deal with this matter. Then it will go like this. There is a man who have a friend coming to visit him, and he has nothing in the, to put before him, so he goes to his neighbor, a friend of his, and he knocks on the door, and then his friend lying in the bed, he says, oh, I've gone to bed and all my kids are sleeping, don't disturb us. And this friend, he says, oh, excuse me, I didn't know that you were in bed. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll come back tomorrow. This is how we really think. That is all about. We pray once, and then we say, well, I'll come back some other time when you have got some time for me and you are awake. This is not what the Lord here is saying. He is saying, if this friend, he has a need because he has some visitors in the midnight, the friend goes to his friend and he knocks at the door, and the man in there says, oh, I'm in bed, don't bother me. I was just about to fall asleep and all my children are sleeping and my wife and so on. And then the man outside just says, if you are not going to get out of that bed, I just tell you that I will perform a real old-fashioned Indian war dance around your house, and I'll take stones and I'll throw them at the windows and I'll scream and yell until all your children, your wife and yourself, you cannot hear it. This is really the idea. He will go on and go on and go on and go on until something happens. And it is essential for us to see. We don't, we haven't got a Father in heaven who is asleep and is unwilling. This is not what the parable is telling us. But it do tells us that the Lord expects us to understand that prayer is has something to do with going on and keeping on until we've got the things that we are praying for. It is not true that we only have to pray once and then say, thank you, Lord, and leave it there. We must learn to go on and pray until we've got the answer. This is the whole idea behind the matter of prayer. We've got to have an answer. And as I said the other day, in Denmark we speak in a saying that it's better to have one bird in your hand than 10 on the roof. And it's true. We must get something in our hands, and the process of prayer never ends until we've got something in our hands, if it's something we can have in our hands. But you understand what I mean. We need to be perseverant in prayer. And that's why I said that for me it looks as if we've just got to pray until we have got the whole matter finished. But it's not that we would go on in the same way in prayer. There's different stages or steps in prayer. There is the initial state, which I call the seeking prayer, where we begin to call upon the Lord and we inquire of the Lord in order to find His will. And if it's something we inquire of the Lord and ask for, that we realize by the Holy Spirit that it's not according to His will, then we can give up praying. We need not to go on. But if He reveals to us this is certainly of His will, then we shall never stop and say, that is wonderful, thank you, Lord. And then we stop. No, then we come to the second stage, what is called the stage of the prayer of faith. Then we go in to claim it and lay hold on it with thanksgiving and with faith. And then the third step is that we go on reminding the Lord until we've got it. Because He said, you shall pray believing that you already got the thing that you asked for. You asked for. That is the prayer of faith. We can never believe that we are going to get anything that we are not praying according to the will of God, can we? So that's the prayer of faith first. And then He goes on and He says, then it shall be given unto you. There is a period of time. And what are we going to do in that period? We don't get the answer very often in the same moment we pray the prayer of faith. That is what I call the stage, the phase of the reminding prayer, where we are reminding the Lord. And when we get up in the morning, we say, oh Lord, thank you. Just remember, Lord, just remember. This is what Lance has been teaching on the watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. They do know it's the will of God that the city of Jerusalem shall be made what the Lord wants it to be on earth. They do know it's the will of God, but they go on reminding Him day and night. Not that He has got a bad remembrance or memory, as Lance told us, but that He uses that kind of prayer for to work out some wonderful things in the hearts of His people. So we can go to Luke 18:2 and read another parable on this matter of prayer and perseverance. Luke 18, now He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I'll give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" It's really true that this kind of faith is not the kind of saving faith. This is the kind of persevering faith. And I imagine when the Son of Man comes, how will the Son of Man be able to see in these end times that his people has got faith? Only in one way, by their perseverance. Perseverance, endurance, is the token of faith being there. So here we've got this parable, and the amazing thing is the way that this widow is dealing with that unrighteous justice, judge. She is used different expressions when you read it in the Amplified New Testament. It says, "Lest she give me intolerable annoyance." In other words, he irritates him. Until in an intolerable way. Or it says, "And wear me out by her continual coming, or at last she come and rail on me or assault me." And then comes the real Greek word here, "and strangle me." And I've been told that this word strangle, this Greek word, It really describes two hands on a throat. Strong words. Well, isn't it true in our society today that this is the kind of people that will get their things done? Let me go back to my experience in the telephone company. I left it, by the way, 8 years ago to go into another communication firm where I tried to get the communication on the vertical level between heaven and earth. But I have got many experiences that have really been illustrated many things. I was in an office where we dealt with several big firms and their telephone exchanges, and they applied for installment of various things, and sometimes the different cases piled up on my desk. And we were told by our boss that we had to deal with them in the right order, in the order of how they had been coming in. We were never allowed, really, to let someone come before others that had been applied for earlier. But there just were some people who really knew how they should get their things done as quickly as possible. I remember one businessman, when he applied for an installment of a telephone exchange, he phoned me every day at 12 o'clock sharp when he knew I wouldn't be away, because that was just in my lunch period when I sat with my little lunch bag on the desk. He knew I would be there. Or if I was not there, because sometimes I escaped, he would call back later on. And he would talk to me about this thing that he needed to get it done And he went on for so long time, so at last I took him out from the bottom of the pile and put it upon my desk, and I did the whole thing, and I sent it on to the department who was to do the real work. And do you know what he got? He got right on that foreman who was to install the plant, and he bribed him, sending him bottles of liquor and big boxes with cigars and everything else. And he got his thing done way ahead of anybody else. Well, it's true, if we are not that kind of people, we won't get anything done today. This is a principle that the Lord here is sharing with us, that we must be perseverant. We must go on. We must in some way be aggressive until we get. And there is an explanation why it is like that. It's not that we have an unrighteous judge in heaven. Thank God. He is a righteous Father. It's not that we have an unwilling God, but it is that we have a God that is the greatest teacher and understander of the human nature and the heart of his people. Do you have the word pedagogue?
Better teacher.
One who is really understanding how to bring up people, to teach them. And there are two reasons why we have to be perseverant in prayer. And the first one is, as I touched on earlier, is that there is, in this age on earth, in the heavenlies, some enemies that are able, to some extent, to hinder the will of God to be accomplished. And of course, this whole principle, this whole thing is illustrated by Daniel praying for 3 weeks. But after praying his first prayer, we learned that it was heard in heaven. His little prayer telegram came up in heaven. And there it was put before the Father. It was heard. And the Father said to one of his angels, "Now you go down and bring him the answer." And when the angel came down into the heavenlies, there was a prince of Persia that withstood him, as Lance told the other day, and was able to hinder him in going further. And then this angel had to call for a bigger one, the archangel Michael, to come. And then this angel that was the messenger bringing down the answer to the little prayer telegram, he said to Michael, "Michael, would you please take over?" And Michael took over, and he confronted this prince of Persia, and he withstood him so that the messenger could go on. And finally reach down and come to Daniel. It's very simple. It is like that. There is some resistance in the air. There is some evil forces and powers that have some way of hindering and frustrating the will of God to be accomplished. And think of it. If Daniel had been an average modern Christian, he would just have prayed once and then he would have forgot about it and nothing would have happened. The prayer of Daniel and the fasting that he added to it, the partial fasting at least, was a thing that made it possible for the answer to penetrate any enemy activity and finally reach down on earth. This is why we've got to see that we must be perseverant in prayer. Because there are some enemies that we have to deal with, and the Lord has to deal with them. And he deals with them as long as we pray. And they have to be defeated. is like in the picture of Moses and Joshua. Joshua was in the valley with all the war men, all the warriors fighting the enemy. But Moses went up to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. And together they were there, and as long as Moses lifted up the rod of God, then Joshua and the warriors, they got the victory over the enemy. But as soon as he sunk, it was the opposite. And then Aaron and Hur helped him to support his hand so he shouldn't get tired. This is really the thing. Persevering prayer is important if the battle is going to be won down in the valley. And with someone who are in the heavenlies, together, united in prayer, lifting up the rod of God, which is the authority of God over the enemy. That's one thing, but there's another thing. And that is that the reason why the Lord allows us to have this period of time where the answer is not coming is that He wants to bring us up. He wants to teach us something. If you go to Mark 11, you will see that very clearly. Mark 11 and verse 20. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Now you know the story. One morning the Lord went out of the city. He came by a fig tree, and he was hungry, but there was no fruit, and he cursed the fig tree. And in that very moment, nothing happened. And Peter and the other disciples, they must have been astonished, and maybe they had talked to one another and said, why is the Lord cursing the fig tree? It was still there, and the leaves were green, and nothing really happened. Now, here in verse 20, and as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up, and being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Now he was amazed that something has happened, but please notice that there was a period of time here. From the moment that the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree and until it withered, there was a time lapse. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, and here is the teaching out of the event with the fig tree. This is what the Lord is teaching on that event. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you have prayed and asked, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. There is a time lapse. We don't get the fig tree withered in the same moment always when we speak to it. We don't get the answer. Even when we pray the prayer of faith immediately, there is some time, and it shall be granted you. And we can wonder and say, why is that necessary, Lord? When we pray according to your will, why don't you give it us right away? It is your will. Why do you delay? Why is there a time? Well, one of the reasons is the one we have just seen, and the other one comes here. Please notice verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your transgressions. Now do you see the connection? The Lord is the great teacher, and He uses prayer as a mean to educate and cleanse us and bring us up. So when you pray a prayer of faith and you expect an answer, the Lord is reasoning with himself and he's saying, well, I'll just wait for a little while. I'll just see how is his heart condition. How is he doing? How about his relationship to his brothers and sisters? How about his relationship to his wife or her husband? And then the Lord starts a purifying work in our lives. That's why very often when I pray for a specific thing, knowing that it is the will of God, strange things happen. The Lord begins to deal with me. Because there's no way we can get into the promise unless by being obedient to the will of God. And the Lord is searching our hearts to bring us up, to cleanse us, to purge us, to build us up. This is really something far greater than just getting the things that you are interested to have and the needs that you have. It's something much bigger. Oh, how wonderful it is to know this Lord who is so much desires to form his Son within us, to make us grow in Christ, to cleanse us from everything that hinders us. Now suppose that the Lord would give us right away anything we ask. Now take your own situation. If you are a father or a mother and your little son is coming to you and say, Daddy, I want $10. Oh, yes, of course, he's $10. Then he comes half an hour. Daddy, I want $100. Oh, yes, go on. Suit yourself, he's $100. Daddy, I want a bicycle. Yes, of course. Here's a bicycle, the loving father. You'll go broke. in a short while. But another thing, you'll spoil your son. Because that little boy of yours, he is not able to administrate so much blessing at one time. Do you know it's really true that in order to really receive the blessings of the Lord, we have to be built up. Otherwise, they will spoil us. It's really more difficult than we think to be partakers of his riches, his gifts, and his blessings. We need to be built up. Sometimes we do see that the gifts of God can lead us astray from himself. Look at the prodigal son. He came and he had an inheritance, but he couldn't wait to get that inheritance in the hour that his father had appointed. He would have that inheritance. And I don't think that the father said to him, all right, son, you get your way at the first request. I do think there was a battle going on. And the father had tried to make that son understand it's not the time. You're not mature. You cannot administrate this big amount of money or whatever it was. But he insisted, and finally, and this is what happened too in our lives, if we insist and insist and won't really listen, the Lord will give us our way and we will have to be taught in another way. So he went out and he uses all that lot and he ends up in a miserable state. Because he was not able to administrate these blessings. Oh, how the Lord wants to deal with us in this matter of prayer. Prayer is, I would say, the real, if there is any, shortcut then prayer would be the way that we are being brought up, faster and growing faster than in anything else in our spiritual life. Because God is right in it, and as we pray and we become perseverant in prayer, He's dealing with us in a wonderful way. So brothers and sisters, let us not give up. Don't give up praying for your unsaved relatives. Don't stop, ever stop. Go on and pray, not only for their salvation, but for your own sake, that the Lord may have a means to deal with you and to educate you and bring you up. May His name be glorified in us and through us. Amen.